Good morning, Lighthouse. Welcome to Sunday morning worship service. We're so glad you're joining us today. You will notice today is Youth Converge Sunday. So if we have any young people still in the building that want to head back to the Youth Center, you're more than welcome to join them. They are having a worship center a worship service together. And the nursery will still be right after worship. So if you have some nursery babies, they can go back after worship today. So if you notice, our congregation's a little sparse today with no young kids in here. So we are going to need you adults to step it up because our kids have lots of energy and passion. How many of you enjoyed the kids coming up and just worshiping? It's been fabulous. So let's follow their lead and let's worship. And I'm not saying you have to be up here, but in your seats, be giving it your all. Because I was thinking of the scripture that said Jesus told them if those people didn't worship, the rocks would cry out. And I don't want any rock crying out. And I've heard some young people say, well, I feel like people are judging me. And I sure hope that's not true. No one sitting back in their seat should be judging how these kids are worshiping because you should be worshiping. And it may not look like what somebody else is doing, but it should still be 100% that you're giving your worship. So let's do that today. We are going to worship with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. We do have several announcements this morning. For youth camp, we are selling some meat sticks. So there is some on the back table. If you want to support the youth department, you can buy those youth sticks. If you want to take any to sell, please see Sister Karen. She's back at the Welcome Center, and she'd be happy to give you some meat sticks. Even if you don't have kids going to camp or other youth events, you could still take some to sell if you would like, just to help support that youth ministry. So please see her if you're interested. And then Talent Expo, I know all the kids are not in here, but if you have a kid who is participating in Talent Expo, they need to be registered by March 6th. So by the end of service, hopefully we will have the paper back on the door, and it has a QR code. You can take a picture of that and register online. If you have any issues, let us know. We can get you a paper copy if needed. If they're participating in a group, then the church is covering that registration. You don't have to worry about it. But if your kid is doing something individual, you need to register them. I don't want them to show up the day of and not be able to participate because you forgot to register. So March 6th is the deadline. Please register. On Sunday, May 12th, which is about 2 weeks away, there is a prayer walk. It is at the school here in town for Carrie, so if you'd like to attend, please make plans, and that is at 5 p.m. How many of you know that prayer is important? And if our community is going to promote prayer, how many know that we should be there? As the church, we should be leading the way. So if you're able to be there, please do. Also, we are doing an Easter choir, so this is a one-time event. You're not signing up forever. But if you want to sing and be in an Easter choir, please see Sister Betty, and I believe she needs to know today. So let her know. That way she can figure out when practices are going to be. She needs to know how many people she has. Even if you're not the greatest singer, the wonderful thing about choir is you just match your voice to the person next to you. So you can do it. So if you love to sing, you're passionate about singing, please see Sister Betty and join that Easter choir. And then love packages. Have you guys noticed the big boxes at the back of the church? We are collecting any kind of Christian material to send overseas. So today is the last day. If you don't turn it in today, keep it till next year, please. We're not going to collect all year long. Today is the last day. So if you forgot your stuff, no big deal. We'll do it again. But if you have something today, please put it in those boxes. And that'll be sent out soon. And then my last announcement is, as Brother Ryan has been talking about Kairos, I just want to remind you that is a prison ministry, and we need cookies. So there are some information at the back table, because it's very specific what kind of cookies, how many cookies. They have to be packaged in a certain way because the prison is very particular, but they're letting us do this. And the cookies, if you saw the last couple weeks, it is a ministry. It's showing the inmates that people care about them and then opening the door for the people to tell them about the love of Jesus. So if you'd like to make some cookies, please get one of the bags in the back that gives you all the information. And at this time, Sister Tricia Troiano is coming with our call to worship.
Good morning. So today's scripture is from 2 Thessalonians 2 and starting in verse 13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. So this is very timely, I believe, and I just want to say something. As we continue to go through this year, we have to continue to remember what Pastor Joe has brought. The Lord had put that very strong in my spirit. He is teaching us how to stand firm in the word. And as we continue to go out into the world and it continues to get dark, we have to stand firm. We can't be drawn away by other types of fake gospel or teaching that we want to hear that makes us feel good or that tickles our ears. So I encourage you today to join in and praise the Lord. Give it all you got today and watch what the Lord will do. So if you stand, I will pray over the offerings. And remember, as you come forth, there are three ways to give, which are up on the screen, but you can give in the baskets that are in front of the stage. So Father, we worship you today. We exalt you in this place, Lord. Thank you for the freedom that you have given us to come together and to worship you, Lord. And we praise you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to give into the kingdom work, Lord. Thank you that you have chosen us and have given us the Holy Spirit for sanctification, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And now I'm going to turn it over to the worship team.
So I love the Holy Spirit. I know it might be a little awkward right now because you want to come forward, but give me just a second. I need to explain something. As I was praying about how to open up worship or what to sing, as Sister Trisha talked about tradition, you know how sometimes we do something in the beginning and we're all gung-ho and we go for it, and then months go by, weeks go by, and then you kind of get away from it and back to where you were. And I really feel like God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be reminded of the things that was taught during the time of consecration. And one of those things was using just our voice to praise God. And I feel like that's what we need to do starting out. So we're just going to, God put a song in each and every one of our hearts. It's our song to God. And when we praise God, that ushers in his presence. And in his presence is breakthrough. In his presence is healing. In his presence are answers to the prayers that you've been asking for. So I just encourage you, as we just lift our voices, we're going to lead you in a song, but I encourage you, sing your own song if you want to. Praise the God who saved your soul. Hallelujah.
You are holy. You are holy. You are holy.
Forth your offering as we continue.
You are worthy. You are worthy.
The Bible says if he's high and lifted up, if he's exalted, he will draw all men. How many of you know some men and women that need drawn to Christ? That starts with you exalting. That starts with you lifting him up. So just take a moment and in your own words, exalt him in your life. Give him that place of honor in your life. No one can do it for you. It is you and you alone that decides if you're going to let him be in control. Oh, Lord, we just exalt you. We praise you. We magnify you, Father. Oh, we lift you high in this place, Lord. Oh, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father. God, we need you, Lord. We need you. Oh, we need you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way. Have your way.
Thank you. It's too much, God. It's too much. I can't take it. I'm in the middle of this storm. I don't even feel like that I can say anything. Anybody ever been where you couldn't even feel like you could say anything? That you couldn't out loud say hallelujah because it was too much. But you don't rely on what you feel. You rely on the living water that's inside of you. And in the middle of the storm, when you can't say out loud, hallelujah, somewhere inside of you, something is saying, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm so broken, God. I'm in so much pain. I don't know if I can make it through, but inside of me, I'm saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, there's this breakthrough, as Sister Trisha said this morning. And all of a sudden, out of your mouth comes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you find yourself on the other side of that storm. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen.
That you are the Lord of depression. You are the Lord over depression.
Inside of me, I A hallelujah. I'll raise 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 a hallelujah. Come on, church. I'll raise a hallelujah. Who will commit? I'll raise a hallelujah. I'll raise a hallelujah. Hear our hallelujah. Hear our hallelujah, Lord. Bible says, I will rejoice and boast about you. I will sing about your name most high. I will rejoice and boast about you. I will sing about your name most high. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, we had a tout of praise where we did a heave offering. Then we did a ruach shout. As a praise of victory. But do you know that there's another word that is translated in our language, English language, as praise, and it's zamar, which means to sing and to play music. To sing and to play music as praise. And sometimes we think of that in only terms of what we're doing right now. We think, okay, my praise and my worship is when I go to church and the worship team is playing music and leading me in song. No, 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 no. We can sing a song to the Lord. We can sing to Him. And I love this song because it says, I'm going to raise this hallelujah, this praise, praise be the Lord. That's what hallelujah means. I'm going to do it in the middle of my storm, in the middle of my battle, in the middle of whatever I'm facing, in the presence of my enemy, Whatever your enemy is right now, you see, your enemy is the thing that's trying to steal what God has given you. It's the thief. The thief tries to take your joy, tries to take your peace, tries to take your prosperity that we have in Jesus Christ, tries to take your faith. Whatever that enemy is, it's not that person you work with. It's not that one standing beside you right now that just tried to fight with you on the way to church. Smile at me because you know it's the truth. That's not your enemy. So in the presence of your enemy, I'm going to raise a hallelujah. And as we were singing this song, all of a sudden I just remembered back in my high school days playing sports. All of a sudden, the band would start playing our fight song. Band would start playing our fight song. In the presence of our opponents, we'd come running out on that field or step out on that mat or run out on that basketball field, right, or basketball court, right in front of the visitors, right in front of their team. And all of a sudden, the band would start playing the fight song. Say, hey, we're here to get the victory. We're here for a win. We're here for the W. That's what we showed up for. Hear our fight song. Listen, our fight song is the blood of Jesus. Our fight song is the name of Jesus. And we can stand in the presence of our enemy. We can stand in front of doubt and fear. We can stand in front of things that are trying to steal away our peace. And we can sing our fight song. Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. I showed up for the win. I showed up for the win. Because he's already won my victory. Some of you came in with some burdens this morning. Some things you're facing. Whether it be in your health, whether it be in your finances, whether it be just in your soul, disruption of your peace of mind, things that are attacking you and your family, things that are attacking your friends, things that are attacking your job. And what you need to do is, in the presence of all of that, you need to sing the fight song. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Holy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Holy is the Lamb of God. We plead the blood of Jesus over our circumstances right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare his victory. In the name of Jesus, we declare his victory. Woo! I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing our song unto him. Don't worry about what they're doing. You sing your song of victory to God right now. Over your circumstance, over your problem, over that loved one, over that situation. Sing the song of victory unto God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah to you, God. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for your victory. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your cross. We thank you for your resurrection. We declare it to be manifested in our lives right now. In the name of Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Nissi, the banner over us. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. We declare, God, you are the Lord our God. And we proclaim and sing your victory this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sing a little louder.
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 Gotta sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Presence of these hands be clean and this heart be pure. Blameless as the bride you're coming for. And it's the power of your presence that changes us. Your glory all around us. And we're this be a house where you long to stay. Ever will you meet us face to face. Abandoned here before you, we want nothing else than just to be with you and you alone. And it's the power of your presence that changes us. Your glory all around us. And we're undone. You open up the heavens and fall afresh on us. And it's the power of your presence that changes us. Your glory all around us. And we're undone. You open up the heavens and fall afresh on. Fall afresh on us.
It's the power of your presence that changes us, glory all around us. Open up the heavens and fall afresh on us. Come on, lift your hearts, lift your mouths, lift your hands. Ask God not only to fall fresh on you here, right now, but every morning you get up, every day of your life, ask God for a freshness, a newness, a connection to Him that you can live in and walk in. Come on, open your mouths, lift your hearts, lift your voices. You begin to talk to God right now. Father, fall afresh on us, not just in the midst of a service when we come together, but every day of our lives, God. Every day of our lives, fall afresh on us. Refresh us with the wind of the Holy Spirit right now. Breathe life into us. Breathe life into our devotional time. Breathe life into our situations. Father, we thank you, Lord, right now for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, right now for what you're doing. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you are singers, but you don't think that you're singers because you don't stand on a stage holding a microphone, singing a song and leading people in a song. But you have to understand that when you begin to sing, there's a release of faith in you that God begins to move. You see, there's the preached word, there's the taught word, but do you know there's the sung word? There's the worship of the word. And when we begin to do all of these aspects of it, we just begin to declare the word of God over our lives. God begins to move because it stirs up and creates an atmosphere of faith. You understand that? It releases your faith. It gets the focus off of your circumstance, the situation that you're living in. Diverts your attention from that and gets you looking at God so that you can put your faith in action. I just heard the Holy Ghost say this to me. Some of you think that you need more faith. What did Jesus tell the disciples when they asked him for more faith? I'll put it in a nutshell for you, okay? He said, you already have enough. You got to start with what you got. Use what you got first. Use what you have. Start where you are. Engage your faith in Jesus Christ and watch that faith get stronger. Not more faith, just stronger faith. You understand? You're flexing your spiritual muscle of faith. And as you exercise that faith, it gets stronger. Amen? How many of you believe with me this morning? How many are going to start declaring your faith over your situations? Father God, right now, you see the doubt and fear that's trying to overtake our minds. Lord, you even see those loved ones. For many of you, that's what it is. It's someone that's on your heart, someone you care about deeply. Some of you are becoming fearful of their situation. And God said, no. Begin to declare faith into their situation. Our God is the God of impossible. He makes the impossible possible right now. Let's declare it. In the name of Jesus, we activate our faith. It may feel weak right now, God, but we activate our faith. Whatever we have, we give it to you right now. We believe in you. We look to you. We look to the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God that made these bodies, the God that created our loved ones, the God who put these relationships in our lives, Lord. And we just bring these things to you right now. We bring these people to you right now. And we believe in faith, God. We stir up our faith. We trust in you, God, right now, that you're meeting the need. It may not come out the way we want it to, Lord, but we release it. We take our hands off of it. And we believe in you right now, Father, that you're doing it. You're doing it. Your way, in your time, but you're doing it, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We release it to you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? How many of you just love coming together in His presence, worshiping Him with one another? This is what it's about. This is the reason we come together. Not just to preach or teach the Word of God, that's important. But in doing that, we encourage one another. We stir each other up to do the works of Christ. And to hold on by faith and see God move. Amen. And that's why we come together. So I want to thank you all for coming and being with us this morning. If this is your first time here, we welcome you. We love you. We're so grateful you came to worship the Lord with us. If this is your second time here, well, you're family. And because you came here twice, people have already labeled you as one of the crazies. So you might as well own it, right? Just own it. Just own it. You're part of our family. Yeah, some of you may think, look, in the Christian world, we may be looked at like the crazy uncle. The Christian family, right? The Pentecostals are the crazy uncle in the family of God. You never know what we're going to do, right? But I love it. I love it because we have the freedom to express our love and joy that God's given us, amen? And so I'm so thankful for what God has been doing in our midst, what God's been doing in our young people. And I'm telling you, there's a shift right now in the earth. And it is up to us to heed the move of the Holy Spirit, to push out all of our boundaries that we have created. Come on, somebody. God didn't create the boundaries, we did. And we need to begin to move with God and what He's doing. And I was just elaborating a little bit last week when in the message I was referring to what God's been doing in Asbury, and it's been breaking out other college campuses. I can't remember the one that's in Alabama. I can't remember the name of that college, but there's the one in Tennessee, I know, is Lee University, the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee. Their university, their seminary is experiencing revival right now, too. There's revivals happening. I saw some pictures. I don't know how old they are, but some things happening even in high schools. And God is moving in our young people. And I want you to understand that that is a promise from God, especially for this church. We've had a prophetic word years ago that God would spark a revival in us through our young people. And I believe that He's been wanting to do that for some time. And now we are finally getting ourselves into the alignment of that understanding. And He's flowing in us. And so I want to encourage you. It's going to look different. They're going to do different things than how we've done them in the past. You know, I don't know the church clap dance that they like to do, but they have fun with it, they enjoy it, and they're having joy in the presence of God. And it may not look like the old time shout dance that we still experience and hear, and I believe that the young people do experience and will experience even more, because how many know that God likes to do an old and a new thing all together, right? He just mixes it all up. But I want to encourage you, if you see young people doing something and you're like, that's not how we did it, pause for a moment. Pray about it. Ask God, okay, and is there any harm in what you see them doing? You understand? And this is where we miss it sometimes, church. We see God moving and we're excited about that. Then we see something that we're just not so sure about, and we want them to focus on what we know God is doing. And if we're not careful, we'll hinder the part that God's doing because we want to control the part that we're not sure about. Let's not do that. Let's let kids be kids and have fun, right? Let them have fun in the presence of God. Let's let babies crawl around, run around, and, you know, we'll haul them in and corral them in and do all that stuff that we got to do. But listen, make sure they're here. Make sure they're here. There's churches all across America that are dead and dying because they stifled the kids. And they made kids feel like they weren't a part of it. They were just supposed to be there and observe. I want our kids to be a part of what we're doing. Amen? And so, let's keep stirring that. Let's keep stirring that. Now, there's something I wanted to share with you, and some of you may remember this, and I was actually talking with it with Pastor Caleb and Brother Rob this morning before service, and I was going to say something last week, and it just didn't come out. And maybe it wasn't the timing, but I want to remind some of you, and some of you will hear this for the first time, but I was praying a few years ago, and I can't even remember when it was, and when God spoke this to me, I shared it with this congregation. But I heard the Lord say that this next great move, this next great awakening, this next great revival that we would experience in our country would be one that would be interdenominational, that it wouldn't be labeled that, oh, this is a faith movement and the word of faith people got all behind it, or this is a Pentecostal movement and it created Pentecostalism and all this stuff. And, you know, because God has done things like that across America. There's been faith movements, there's been healing movements, there's been Pentecostal movements, you know, that we are a part of. I don't know if you know it or not, but if you look at your history, we were birthed out of Azusa Street and out of some revivals that took place in the Appalachian Mountains about the same time God was moving on the East Coast and the West Coast, and then we collided and we created this Pentecostal charismatic movement, which created another denomination, which was not God's will. You mean everything that happens in church is not God's will? Why do you think he told us, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? God's will is not always done. You smack in the back end of a vehicle, that's not God's will. Okay? Even if you did lead the other driver to the Lord, that was not God's will. Right? Sometimes we, just too extreme, church, we get people all fuzzy in their understanding. Oh, it was the will of the Lord. I smacked into them because I was able to lead them to Jesus. No, God took what the devil meant for evil and turned it for your good and turned it for their good, right? That's Romans 8:28. So not everything that happens is the will of God. And so what God began to speak to me is that this next move would not be a denominational move. And so that's why you're hearing people having issues with what's going on right now. Because, well, this college believes this doctrine and I just can't get behind that. Because they're stuck in denominations. God doesn't move in that way, right? He doesn't care what label you have on you except for the blood of Jesus, okay? And the other thing that God spoke to me about this revival that we would see pour out was that there wouldn't be a name attached to it. Only the name of Jesus. And there's been other great moves where there were men of God that God rose up for that hour. And they were God's men of power that demonstrated God's glory in the earth. And there's nothing wrong with that. And they were godly men. And I appreciate their ministries. I appreciate what they did for the church and the legacy that they've left us. But God said this next great revival, there's not going to be any personalities attached to it, because it is just going to be the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, there are ministers, there are preachers. I'm not saying that we're getting rid of the preached word. No, that's in the Bible, and we must do that, right? By the foolishness of preaching is what Paul told us. We're going to have preaching. We're going to have teaching. We need the fivefold ministry. But we live in a society now that has elevated a leader to a celebrity status. That if God would do that now, people would accredit everything that's happening to that person, to that individual. And God said in this next season of revival and awakening, there's not going to be any one person that people can attach their name to it. It's going to be the name of Jesus. So isn't it interesting that we're seeing both of those things happen? There are people from all kinds of church denominations that have went to Asbury. I know that it's a Methodist seminary. Praise God for the Methodists. Thank you, Jesus, for them. I'm excited about that, the fact that the Methodist movement is attached to Asbury, because they're having a struggle. Our brothers and sisters are having a struggle right now. I've been praying for them. And in the midst of their struggle, God is still moving. But here's the thing. The Methodists aren't calling this a Methodist revival. They're just like, God is doing something at Asbury, right? Okay? And then you notice that they've even had well-known preachers show up to this. And they haven't went, oh, brother, pastor, bishop, most reverend, you come and take over and preach to us. No. They make them sit down in the seats like everybody else and experience the presence of God, because God is moving in their midst. And you know what I appreciate about all those big name preachers? They're like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You don't want to hear my voice, you want to hear the voice of the Lord. No one's getting offended or put off by it. We're seeing both of those things begin to happen. These are the promises of God. And here is the thing, church, we got to get a hold of it. Now, like I told you last week, I don't think that unless God speaks to you, and if he does, then go. Go to Lee University. Go to Asbury. Go if God speaks to you. Go there, okay? Please, heed the voice of God. But God spoke directly to me and said, Joe, stay in Cary, Ohio, and steward what I'm doing there. Here, right here. God's moving in our midst, because he's pouring out his spirit and manifesting himself in a way that if anybody is hungry, he'll do it. He'll do it wherever. And it's not a Pentecostal movement. It's not a Joe Turner thing here. It is the people of God coming together because they want more of Jesus. Amen? And so let's continue to steward that. Let's continue to work at that. Let's continue to feed into that, right? Don't allow the cares of this world to begin to choke out what God's doing. Remember the parable of the sower, right? Some of it fell by the way. It took root, began to grow up, but then there were weeds that grew up with it, and it began to choke out the life of that plant. And Jesus said, those are the cares of this world. You see, what happens is we make it about a place. Listen to me, church. We make revival, we make the move of God about a place. We make it about a building. And then when we're not there, we allow the frustrations of life to overwhelm us and overcome us, and then we miss what God's doing. No. We gather together to be encouraged in the Lord, to encourage one another, so that when we leave this place, the thing that is manifested in us, we carry with us and we impart it to the world around us. Did you catch that? What fell on you in worship today, what God is sowing into your heart right now through the preaching of the word, what he will seal at the end of this service as we pray and seek the face of God together, that is his glory that is now upon your life, and it's not just for this moment. It's not just for right now. It's not so that we can go, man, wasn't church good today? No, it's so that you can carry what God has put in you out there and 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 everywhere and share it with other people. God is doing that in us. God is doing something in us where we can't contain it inside these four walls. And if we try to, we will quench the Holy Spirit. And Paul told us, quench not the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you are excited about what God's doing? How many of you have an expecting heart? Not just when we come together, but every day you wake up and go, God, what are you going to do today? What do we get to do together today, God? Right? That's exciting. I know for some people it's not. Some people like planned, strategic, scheduled things. I'm not a scheduler. I'm more of a fly by the seat of my pants type of guy. And so what God's done for me is he's like, no, you're going to have to schedule some things, Joe. You're going to have to bring some things into alignment, and I'm going to meet with you there. And then some of you that are uncomfortable with the on the fly, he's disrupting your schedule. Right? Don't be upset if you're running late and you just keep thinking, man, I've done everything in my routine. I always do. Why am I running late today? That's a good question. There's a reason for it. Seek God and say, okay, God, what are you doing today? What's going on today? Is there a person I'm going to meet today? Is that why I'm running late today? Right? Let's get our hearts and minds ready for what God's doing. Okay. So we've been talking about, ministering about what God is speaking to this local body of believers specifically. And I want to dive in a little bit deeper into that today. I want to start giving a few more specifics for this year. And I want to really clarify in general terms the foundational principles that God spoke into this church so that you can understand it. I want you to get the vision, the mission, and the values of this church so well that you can repeat it to anybody. Not that you can go, well, you know, pastor said, and I think, and no, it's yours. I want you to own it. I want you to say, yeah, if this is your home church, this is where you know that God has placed you to come together with a group of people and worship on a consistent basis, then I want you to own these things. And so I'm going to do my best to make it very clear to you. And I started out this year after our time of consecration, and I told you that God spoke to me and gave me an acronym for the word light, which is living in God's holy temple. And how God has called us all into a deep relationship with Him where we are to live in His holiness. We're to live in His presence. And this is what's amazing about this is we don't always have the manifestation of His presence. We don't always have a quickening of His presence in us, right? Like we're aware that He's there. But God said that He lives in us, right? He lives in us. We've been teaching on Wednesday nights about the tabernacle and the different furniture and things that God had them do in the tabernacle and design of the tabernacle. And our teachers have been telling us how it relates to us in a personal relationship with Jesus and how every one of these things points to Jesus. And so I encourage you, if you can make it here on Wednesday nights, come out, and we might be at the end of that series, but whatever we step into is going to be really good. So get here because the teachers do great study into that and they bring out some really good things, and we have lots of communication where people share, and it's just a wonderful time. But I want you to understand now that God, when He sent Jesus and Jesus died on the cross and He said, it is finished, that veil that separated even the priests from the most holy place or the holiest of holies, God ripped it in two pieces. And he said, now I'm letting my presence out of just one space so that it can go into everybody's heart and everybody's life. And so we started out, the first step is our own sanctification, our own holiness, dealing with our own lives and how we live and walk with God, living in God's holy temple. This is the temple, right? Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God dwells within us. He lives within us. So whether we feel the Holy Ghost goosebumps, we feel like running and shouting and dancing and speaking in tongues, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. He's with us always. And so that's step one, right? An awakening in us to that, an understanding that God lives in us. He's always with us. And there's no separate work here, right? I don't have my secular job I go to and do my secular activities, but then I have my Christian things that I do as well, and I go to church. No. Everywhere I am, the church is, right? Look, if you don't get it, I'm going to preach it all again to you. So it starts with the individual. Lord, send revival. Let it start in me, right? And last week we stepped into that, not that we're leaving that behind. That always has to stay at the forefront of our lives. That I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And while I have a personal relationship with God, He also wants me to have a corporate relationship with Him. And that's what we began to talk about last week. We stepped into that. That we live in a generation now that we want one and not the other, or the other and not the one. We have some people who focus only on the corporate worship of God and the corporate relationship with God, and they think that it is through the church that they know God. And then we have other people who think, no, it's a personal relationship with God and I don't need the church. We need both. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. And God has made it very clear to us that we need both. And we have to have a personal relationship with Him, but at the same time, we're supposed to walk in a corporate relationship with God. We're supposed to come together. And so last week we began to read some scriptures. I want to go and hit on them a little bit more this morning. And it says this, 1 John 1:5-7. It says, this is the message you have heard from Him and proclaimed to Him, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now that part is step one, right? That we have to come out from the darkness, let His light shine in us so that we can reflect His light in a personal manner. But then verse 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Oh, so not only is this a personal thing, but this is a corporate, a group thing. People come together, have fellowship with one another. And it says this, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the blood of Jesus works sometimes. Oh, always. For everything but that one thing that I'm struggling with. All things. You know, if you look up the meaning of all in the Greek and the Hebrew, you know what it means? All. Deep, huh? Wow, amazing. All. Everything, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Doesn't just cover us. Get that. The atonement of the blood is the sanctification, the cleansing process, that it's no longer there. If we can get people to believe that, people won't deal with sins that beset them anymore. Let's take it even step further. Let's make it even more personal. If we could get ourselves to believe that, then we wouldn't have to deal with besetting sins and things that try to come on us anymore. We are cleansed. It's not there. It's gone. It's washed in the blood. Are you washed in the blood? and the soul-cleansing blood of the... Anybody remember that old hymnal? That's a good one. Right? It's asking us a question. Have we been washed? Yes. Hallelujah. I received Jesus and I'm washed. And when we are washed, then all of a sudden we are in the light in the context of our vision of this place, the lighthouse, right? We are in the light. And when we are in the light, not only are we in the presence of God, but we have fellowship with each other. I mean, we get to hang out with each other. That's awesome. That means that now I have a family. That, you know, some people don't have family. Some people don't have a family that cares about them. Some people are estranged from their family. But when I come to the light of Jesus Christ, I'm given a family that loves me. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. There's a people that I belong to now. You know, that's part of the human nature. We're looking for a place to belong. Listen to me this morning. If you're looking for a place to belong, you found it. It's the people of God. Here we are. We have fellowship with each other. Now, we ain't always going to get along because families don't always get along. But we're going to learn to love each other through it. We're going to get over it. We're going to keep moving forward, right? That's what people do. And we get better because of it. I mean, how many of you that got married your polar opposite, right? Yeah. We did that under God's guidance. Isn't God such a loving, great God? Why is that? Because He wants to make us better. He makes us better. You know, we like it in a Bible setting situation when we've come together and we are in agreement and we're talking about how wonderful it is to be in the presence of God. And we'll say, oh, isn't it great? Iron sharpens iron. Now, that's just us reasoning in the Word. When iron is sharpening iron, sparks are flying. It's rubbing us the wrong way. It creates a burr on the edge of our sword. Because it needs to be there because we become dull. And then once that burr's there and it's sticking out and feels funny and we don't like it, now he gets the leather strop out. And he rubs the leather strop on the side of the sword so that he can rub the burr off and now we're sharp again. The end goal is wonderful, isn't it? The process of getting there is not fun. That's why we have the family of God. To get us there. To get us there. And so that's why we must work together in unity. I was thinking this morning as I was preparing my heart to preach this word to you, and as I'd been praying this week and I knew what God had put in my heart, I was thinking of the old song, Come and Dine. The master calleth, come and dine. And it starts out, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Talks about finding his chosen people. And he says, come on, come and dine, right? Let's come eat. Isn't that what Sundays are all about? What we come to do is not what our agenda is. God has prepared a table for us that we can come and feast together in his presence. Jesus has a table spread where his saints are come and fed. So come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. He invites his chosen people all the time, right? Come on, let's come and dine, come together and fellowship with one another. Now, in that fellowship, I mean, I'm sure maybe my family is different than yours, but there's a good chance that something's going to come up in conversation that not everybody's going to like. Right? And there's going to be a disagreement. What we have done a bad job in the church with is accepting disagreement. Working through disagreement and loving each other. And so Like I was talking to you earlier about, denominations are not of God. God has never separated his people. His people have separated themselves because they disagreed about something. Right? They didn't see Scripture eye to eye. And I'm telling you, here's my heart as a pastor, is I've come to the place that if we can agree on the essentials, which is Jesus Christ is, was, and always will be the Son of God, therefore he is deity, right? He is God. He did come to the earth in bodily form, functioned in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He died on the cross for our sins. His blood was shed for us, right? But then 3 days later, he came back to life. He rose from the grave, right? He's alive. And he is now ascended unto God. And he sits on the throne with God at his right hand. He makes intercession for us. If we can get that part right, that's the core values, right, of what the gospel message is. That he is now our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he is our Savior. He rescues us from sin and eternal death, but also he now directs our life. He's our Lord. If we agree on that, then let's just hash all the other stuff out along the way. That stuff doesn't matter. That part right there is the most important part, because that will rescue people from hell. Right? So let's come together as the family of God. Let's work through things. Let's believe in one another. Let's go ahead and rub each other the wrong way. Let's disagree about stuff. And then keep working together and working through it and reason through the tension of the word. Because do you realize that there are scriptures that God has purposely put out there to create tension in us? It's part of the trying of our faith that works patience in us. Let's come together as one body. Come on, one body, one light shining in the darkness. You see, a body functions together to do the work. Now, think about this. Let me just show you this illustration. If I'm here and I'm preaching to you, and the only thing of my body that's working is my mouth, how interesting is this message now? That the only part of my body that's working is my mouth. Now, here's the problem with that. For my mouth to work, and you hear me, my vocal cords have to work. And for my vocal cords to vibrate, my lungs must push air across them. So my lungs are working, my vocal cords are working, my mouth is working, and my brain is working to make sure that you can hear all this. But the rest of my body is lifeless. I can't go nowhere. I can't do anything. The body is very limited. The body is handicapped. And while I may be able to talk about God, I can't do anything for God except just speak. I'm limited, right? So for the church to do the work, the whole body must be working together. No part is insignificant. Listen to me, church. No part is insignificant. Everyone is needed. You may be the spark when we come together. And if you tell yourself, well, you know, I'm not the pastor, I'm not the worship leader. You know how many times, Sister Sally, you've came in here and just began to worship and you ushered the presence of God in? You did it. Not the worship team, not the people singing, not the people playing music. You did. I seen it come out of you. I'm telling you that. I was over there one time playing drums on a Sunday morning. We were just doing a sound check. But this woman's a praiser, a worshiper. And she heard that song and she couldn't help herself. She was standing in her area here. Oh man, she was, and all of a sudden the glory of God began to pour out in this building. And I thought, hallelujah, it started before we even got started. Thank you. Thank you. Seriously, thank you. We're all needed. We're all needed. The body must function together as one. We're all needed.
Amen.
There's no little part. Even if you feel as insignificant as the pinky finger nail. How many of you enjoy that hangnail on the pinky finger? Hurts, doesn't it? So when it's messed up, the whole body is affected by it.
Yeah.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
You're not insignificant. You are important. You are important to the kingdom of God. You are important to this group of people. When you're not here, we notice it, whether we say it or not. Sometimes we're terrible about not speaking up what we think. We're just terrible about that because sometimes, you know, here's the problem. As a pastor, I've called people and say, hey, man, I miss you. And they're like, well, what are you bothering me for? Now, they don't say that, but I can tell, you know. And it doesn't take discernment from the Holy Ghost. So then you wait, and you don't bother people. Then it's been a while, so then you call them and say, well, you just now calling me? I mean, you can't win for losing, right? That's what happens with us sometimes. And so that's what the devil's working on my end, while the devil's been working on your end. And here all along, he's creating disunity in the body. And the body isn't functioning together. How about we just get over all of that? I mean, let's just operate in a sense. Yeah, go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Let's just start operating under the assumption that everybody in the body of Christ loves me and needs me. And I better be there. And when I'm not there, I am not being able to do my part. Now, this goes much bigger than you just coming to church. Because when you don't show up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when you don't show up as the body of Christ, the body's hurting. How many times has the body not showed up the rest of the week because they're not at church? Think about it. You see, our light is very, very dim. If we expect it to just be one person. So while we all have our own individual light to shine, the Bible's very clear that the church is a light shining together. Now remember what I talked about casting shade or putting a shadow on the light, manipulating the light. Remember that? That doesn't just work in our own heart. It works for the whole body. So if I start talking about someone that's connected to me in my body, I mean, how silly would it be that every time that my foot tried to do something, my hand would slap it? I'm being real dramatic with you this morning because I want you to get the picture. Right? How ridiculous. Every time I tried to walk somewhere. Hey, man, that guy's got problems. Right? You don't have to amen me so hard, Lish. If we are constantly getting on one another like that, and we're talking about each other, we are not shining a pure light of Jesus. The light is distorted. And we become unattractive to the world around us. So we're supposed to shine together. Well, how do you know this, Pastor? Let's go to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, I'm going to remind you, it's not Revelations. It's the book of Revelation. It's one revelation. It's revealing to us who Jesus is. Whenever you read this book, remember that. It's revealing to us Jesus. First chapter, we're going to read verses 12 through 15. It says this, "Then I turned to see the voice." John is having this vision or this experience. He was either caught up in the heavenly or he was having a vision. I don't really care how you want to explain it. He experienced it, right? "He turned to see the voice that was speaking to him. And on turning," he says, "I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs on his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze or brass, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters." Hallelujah. Now, you understand and know that this is Jesus Christ. Remember, the book of Revelation is the revealing of Jesus, right? So the man that we're seeing that has white hair, burning eyes, feet that are bronze, and his voice is like a roar of many waters is Jesus in his glory, but it is depicted to us in a form in which we can understand it. White like what? White like pure snow. White like pure wool, right? How is his feet? His feet are brass. We know that what brass looks like, shining bronze, right? His eyes, there's a fire in his eyes, like a flame. There's a passion and a burning and a purification that lives inside of him, right? So this is actually what he looked like in his glory, but it is put into a form that we can understand it. Just so you know, he's not really those things. He's made of heavenly material and something that we don't even know anything about. We know not of the heavenly realm. We only know of the earthly realm. So John is trying to express to us what he's seeing by giving us earthly examples, right? Of how powerful and wonderful and beautiful Jesus is. But notice that he's in the midst of seven lampstands. And if you continue to read this chapter, you find out that those seven lampstands represent seven churches. And it is Jesus that's in the midst of these churches. I'm going to say it again. It's Jesus that's in the midst of these churches. Notice that what was brought out in this scripture isn't how beautiful the lampstands are. Isn't it about how glory and wonderful and full of glory the lampstands are. What's brought out about this is that in the midst of these lamps, in the middle of where these churches are, is the Son of God himself in all of his glory, in all of his power, in all of his might. And his voice is the sound of rushing mighty waters roaring out of his church. You see, the job of the lampstands is to light up the one who's in the midst of the lampstand. Come on! The job of the church is to light up Jesus for everyone to see and everyone to hear. One light burning. One light burning. Shining. Focusing. This is Jesus. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Son. Oh, behold Jesus. Woo! Glory. It's the job of the church. It's what we're supposed to do. We're in the midst of this, and we're shining one light together. One light. Everyone say one light. One light. We all have our individual light, but we're supposed to shine it together as one light. The focus of the lighthouse is to be one light. One light. One light shining amongst all the other lampstands. Not so that our light can burn brighter. We can be better. Oh, look at the lighthouse. How wonderful they are. They're such wonderful.